and go home, say we have been to the house of God, to come together. It's an exciting time when anything that you've been looking for a long time, and you come to that moment when you think it's about to happen. Boy, that Santa Claus, I thought it was a very cruel human, you know. I used to get up in the morning and be an apple under that bed, and the boy next door, meaner than me, had a bicycle. I just thought, you know, somehow this ain't working out right. But something that you look for and expect. You know, for 4,000 years they looked for Christ the first time. Then one day John said, the one we've been looking for is here among us today. Behold the Lamb of God. Well, I believe that that's about to happen. That which we have looked for, preached for 2,000 years. The angel said he's going to come back like he went. And I surely believe that's upon us. So many things are happening. This Babel system is going to come down in 1 hour. God will have no problem wrecking all that man's built. But that bride, that church, that moment in history, everything Paul said in the book of Philippians, that the high calling of God in Christ was to be a part of that raptured church. He said, I haven't already apprehended, but I'm pressing forward to apprehend that which I've been apprehended for. And he said, that first resurrection, which is the rapture, the dead in Christ will rise first. And he said, this is the high calling. This is what it's all about. Miss this. Miss this. And even if you're saved, you'd miss 1,000 years of wonder. Amen. What's going to be lost if you were to miss that? It's a time to be ready, to watch your life. Be filled every morning. Don't let the day start without praying through, to being filled with the Holy Ghost. Doesn't matter what you had yesterday. It's what you have when the trumpet sounds that's going to matter. It's that moment. When that trumpet sounds, they that are alive and remain alive, not used to be alive, but remain alive, they're the people that are going to get out of here. He said, as those that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin. Those that look for him. Are you really looking tonight? Is Christianity a Sunday affair? Or is it every day, every moment, on that job? You know, on those jobs, we ought to every now and then have to run up outside and look up, just see maybe. Things ain't changing out there. That's the excitement ought to take a hold of us in these final days. Well, this is going to be a great week. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit all week. In the morning, now tomorrow being a holiday, I didn't know it was till this morning. Amen. But this is a holiday tomorrow. Many of you are off. I'm going to deal with the gift of the Spirit in a different way. I'm not talking about the gift of tongues or the gift of miracles. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. That gift, why? What it's all about. Him being in you. Then the rest of the week, I'm going to deal with this truth of what he is in us. The Bible said he's a comforter. He's the interpreter of Scripture. He's the great conviction. He is everything, but he's in us. And how that voice talks to us, we must know. You don't hear sounds out here. I've heard a lot of people say they do, and I don't doubt that. That may happen. But God lives in me, so he talks from within. It's a moral voice, so it's not hard to discern if you understand what he is. It isn't difficult to understand when he talks to you. He's moral. And when he talks, you know he's talking. So I hope that you'll be here in the morning to help to begin this. I think hearing that first lesson is going to help for the rest of the week. But tonight I'm going to read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I want to talk about some things tonight that everywhere you run into. You know, preacher burnout. That's a big word. I said to my wife, I've missed something. You know, in nearly 50 years, I've never had that experience. Amen. But everywhere today, that's there. Depression in the house of God. I mean, folks full of God, they're supposed to be beat out, depressed, knocked down, don't know where they are. What is the cause of all of that? You know, you can go to the psychologist tomorrow. He'll give you an answer. You don't have to go tomorrow because I'm going to give you an answer tonight. Why all that happened to you? Why it is happening? Here in Romans 12 and 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Now that, I could quit reading there and preach on, but I'm going to read the rest of it. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. How shall we escape if we neglect? See that you refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. Thank you, Jesus, that you'll help us tonight to both to speak and to hear. In Christ's name, amen. You know, if you're a traveling man, and a preacher especially, if you move around in the religious circles of our time, if that's a good term, you'll find there's a lot of talk today about preacher burnout. All kinds of people are building getaways for preachers, you know, someplace, retreat. One of the young preachers that I raised, amen, grew up on that pew, listened to me preach all those years, pastored a church, then resigned the church, and come to see me a while back. I was in Kerrville, Texas, teaching the school. It's been a year ago now, last November. And he come out, and I said, what are you going to do? You left your church, you're going to be an evangelist? Oh, he said, I'm going to help hurting preachers. I said, that's good. What kind of hurting preachers? What are you going to help them with? He said, well, I'm going to raise money, and I'm going to set up a retreat. I said, well, there's several of them going into operation. What do you propose to do for them when you get them there, when you get them out there? Well, he said, love them. You don't think nobody's been loving them. Is that the problem? They've been had a church of people, and nobody loved them in the church. Is that maybe the problem? Well, he kept on. I said, now look, you know, I'm just asking questions. I said, God asked a lot of questions in the Bible, but he wasn't never wanting information, never. And I said, I asked you a question. I wasn't looking for no information. All I want to know is, why are you going to waste your life with preachers that broke down simply because they didn't do what God wanted them to do? I said, all he needs to do, get back to that altar, pray through to the Holy Ghost. No man ever burned out preaching and praying. He burned out being some kind of a glorified business manager or running around doing things that weren't right. This is all. It isn't a matter of you need a retreat for him. He needs God to deal with his heart. Get back into a place with God. Pray his way through to victory. No man ever burned out full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, there's a river in there to put out the wrong kind of fire all the time. Amen. This in the church, not only among preachers, but in the church, you run across so much depressed people. They're beat out, depressed. Why are you depressed? What's wrong? Holy Ghost won't sit down with that. It's just like you're talking about. I'm not stopping no more with him. He's either going to stay in ranks or they can go back and pick him up. I'm going to keep walking. That's the Holy Spirit. He's not going to sit down in your pity, your depression. There's an answer to the problem, and you're going to have to meet that answer. There isn't two answers. There's one. There isn't two ways to be saved. There isn't two ways to walk with God. There's one way. Nobody can adapt any other thing to that. We must walk with God. He said, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Now, God's purpose for every believer, whoever they are, is that believer to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's a destiny. You're predestined. That just simply means God has set a destiny for every born-again believer, and that is to wake in the likeness of his Son, to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's a spiritual and a moral thing. We will have a body. like his glorious body. But now it's spiritual, it's moral. It just simply means that God is reproducing in us the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're walking, living like he lived. That's the answer to life. If God can deal with us, if we set our course right, that we're not trying to be religious, we're walking with God. And all the while along this road, we're being conformed, brought into where we think like him. If we think like him, we'll talk like him. If we talk like him, we'll live like him. And if we do that, everything is well. Everything is well. We must need to do this for him to conform to that image. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we must learn to walk in that Spirit, to be led by the Spirit of God, to come to a place that our choices is always God's choice. Every temptation brings us face to face with a choice that you and I must make. Am I going to walk with God, or am I going to walk in myself? I must make that choice. And if I properly make the right choice, then God will move me along in his timing. But I cannot make that choice if I do not know what God wants. Therefore, I must be a student of the written word of God. I cannot know the living word unless I'm acquainted with the written word, because this is the character of God. The Bible is the character of God, and as I read it, know it, then I know what I'm to become. And as I move along that pathway to the image of Christ, everything else works out. I don't have to struggle for faith. I don't have to struggle for love. All of that is shed abroad in this heart by the Holy Spirit. I've listened to all this talk about faith. It just demonstrates they don't have any of the real faith. If this faith is a product of life in the Spirit of God, that's where faith is. The love of God is there. All is there. As I become what Christ becomes. But to do that, there must be also a cost of bringing us to a place of self-emptying. For me to be like Christ, then I must empty of self. Not one atom of self can be left here. God will have his purpose without any part of the curse in it. There'll be no part of that fleshly or the earthly in that church. In the final analysis, for you and I, we mistake the long suffering of God for weakness. I used to work people. Now, I found if you was real nice to them, most of them would mistake that for weakness and take advantage of you. So it made it almost impossible to be nice to people sometimes. I'm talking about in the world. In the world, God's long suffering is mistaken by the church as a weakness on the part of God. God has said something, and he hadn't killed me yet. And so we kind of think that everything's going to work out. But you hear me tonight. He will have a people without one iota of the curse in it. That self must be dealt with. If I'm going to be like him, then I must be rid of that which is not like him. Christ's mind must be our mind. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ. If I'm going to act like him, I must think like him. Not only is that mind the state of ability, of the seat of ability, but that mind forms the image. The Bible talks about a harlot's forehead. In other words, God said, you can recognize the character of people by the look in that face. Somehow or another, I've been in the insane asylum where people had lost their minds. The eyes sink in. The features are twisted and haunted. I stood in the hallway of one, and there were those in wire cages hanging on to it with a haunted look in that eye. And God said to me, they used to love and life just like you, but today a thief has come and stole. That mind shapes the features. Whatever you think, you ultimately become. And as I learned to think like Christ, then more and more we become like Christ. Let a man and woman that truly love each other live a life together. And soon they begin to resemble each other because their thinking becomes the same. There's a lot of times you think they're brothers and sisters because that mind has become one mind. Their love for one another has made their world one. And somehow or another, they begin to look like each other. As Christ's mind is our mind, we not only think his thoughts, but we become like him. What we think, we do. Now, we cannot make this be. It's beyond us. Impossible for you to make this be. It's a matter of wanting it bad enough that I'll let it happen. That means I'll deny everything that would anywise stop this from happening. I will deal with it up front. Whatever is not like that, I'll deal with it. Whatever is not Christ, I must want it bad enough that everything else is secondary. Everything else has to give place to this. I must want it to happen. The dynamics to cause it to happen are already in motion by the grace of God. I don't have to invent some program in the church to conform us to Christ. The grace of God has already set into motion everything to make this happen. Everybody in this room tonight, it is there. The dynamics of it are there. You know, when vapor rises, it's purified. The sun purifies it. All the vapor has to do is to rise. Don't resist. Just rise, and the sun will do the rest of it. All I've got to do is learn to walk with God. And as God deals with me, to lay aside whatever is not of Christ. As God deals with it, he will expose. He'll peel back all of that outward to get down to that which is only Christ. But the grace of God has put in place everything it takes to make you like Christ. Now, grace is the unmerited favor of God. This is God's answer. God has no obligation to you. God owes you nothing. None whatsoever. It is the unmerited favor of God. Nobody in this room deserves to be saved. You're saved because Christ died for you. God owed you nothing. You're a sinner. You deserved hell. All of us deserved hell. But it was the mercy and the grace of God that gave us this opportunity. His grace initiated the plan of redemption. God is a good God, and his thoughts towards you are good. And you have to know this, because God's grace is going to lead you in this process through the valley of the shadow of death. And you're going to have to know, when you come into that storm, when things don't go right, when all hell is blowing around that house, when the church isn't moving like you thought it ought to move, and everything is not just right, you've got to know that he's a good God, that whatever is happening to me is doing it that I may wake up one day in that likeness. Whatever it is, all the trials, the difficulties of life, if I walk with God. Now, if I willfully sin, I bring that on myself. But if I honestly walk with God, I must know he's a good God, because the best people sometimes suffer the most. The best fruit comes out of the vine that's been most viciously pruned. It is there as God deals with that heart that a man or a woman really begin to produce the fruits of righteousness. Because life doesn't come out of doing, it comes out of dying. And God's pathway for you is going to lead you into very difficult times. You will pass through the valley of the shadow of death. And you must know all of it is a part of the grace. Now, spiritual growth is always a process, never a crisis. There'll be crisis along this way. There'll be great momentous times of an experience with God when the Lord does wonderful things. But don't ever take that for final, because that's not final. It's a process. It's a growth. It's a maturing. It isn't something that happens overnight. If it did, you'd throw it away. But it is a process of things as God deals with that heart, and you do appreciate. I passed through a storm in the 70s, the late 70s. I come wind up owing almost $1 million. I did nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. A thief stole money out of a post office. I wind up owing television stations everywhere. I went through the worst 2 years of my life. I would many times, with enough insurance, that if his plane had crashed, all of that would be took care of. I said, wasn't for these other people, I just soon it would crash. But through it all, God taught me a lesson. Through the hell of it all and the storm of it all, he made me realize, money means nothing to me, son. It is a man that I want. I have no problem with money. If I can just find the vessel. The whole thing was in forge it. When that was over, I cared nothing about money. He's money. If he wants this school of Christ to go, he'll support this school of Christ. I don't itinerate looking for money. I just believe that if it's the will of God, the storm that I passed through, he taught me a lesson that I have no problem with money. I can supply need. My problem is a vessel through which it can come. Always. There's always a process, not a crisis. Now, process is a series of steps which bring about a result. A given result. God has something in mind with that process. It isn't just, I hope something comes out of this good, like a lot of stuff we do. This process ends with the results of God. The first step is a point of inception, first of all. Second, it is a progression of the operation, moving on. And third step is a point, a fixation, our results. And the end of that results is the image of Christ. The end, he's bringing you to himself. You being brought into contact with the gospel, where the Holy Spirit dealt with your heart, that you're a sinner, you're lost, you're dead in trespasses and sin. There comes that moment when God has brought you to himself, and then there comes the progress of the operation, the growth. This before, but the failure of the church in its edible programs is a failure to realize that sanctification and Christian education are exactly the same. It's not a matter you can learn God like you learned the ABCs. Nobody ever gained anything out of little analytical Bible studies. It has to go beyond that. It's growth of the Spirit. When the Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. I've known people that have heard the Word of God in that sense for 30, 40 years and don't have an ounce of faith. That's not what he's talking about. You hear Christ in that Word. He is the Word. You must hear Christ, the living Christ. It must be more than just a book. It's a just give us a book. He did give us a book, but it's a person that must be the object of it all. Everything must be judged. I sat down in religious services, strange in place. I look know about this. I don't have time sitting there to go through 66 books of this Bible, but I know the living Word. Would he, if he won't, if he's in this world, I reject it totally if he does. It is here. Listen. It is a, now, in addition, if the process is a product of intelligent design, it also has a point of conception and a planned purpose. And spiritually, that purpose is the image of Christ. Spiritually, That purpose is the image of Christ. That's the plan of God. Nothing deviates, never, from the moment he created man until this day. It's been a straight line. That interferes a little bit with dispensationalism, but it's the truth just the same. God has never changed. Had Adam stayed true to God, this earth would be full of the knowledge of God tonight. But he didn't. And that type of humanity become unfit for the purpose of God. So he started over with a new race, a new creation in the image of Christ. And results of that, all of us will awake in his likeness. Now the only goal of the believer is to bring joy to the heart of God. You have no other goal in life, but what you are brings joy to God's heart. No matter what it costs you, it doesn't matter what sacrifice the heart of God, then you head of God. God's only joy is Christ, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Said that about no other, nobody else. To the degree then that I'm conformed to the image of Christ, then I'm bringing joy to the heart of God. If he can look at Pastor Duke and see Christ, then God has joy in the life of Pastor Duke. If he can look at any of us and see that son, then we bring joy to the heart of God. Now when we become so detracted by the world that we lose sight of the fact that our choices in life can bring joy to God, we're lost. Everything's gone. When we lose sight of that one truth, that everything, but if I always know that in my choice I can joy to God, I'll never be depressed. No. If I know that I'm pleasing God, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, no matter if it's in Siberia and it's minus 40, and I come from a world where it hardly ever gets to 30 above, yet there, if I know my being here in Siberia is bringing joy to God, then it can't get too cold now. I can be happy now. No matter that I have to go 100 yards out there in the snow to find a place to have a shower. This is bringing joy to God. And that joy of God gave me strength to do whatever I had to do. Gave me the strength. Amen. When we fail to bring joy to God, our strength fails. Because he said the joy of the Lord is our strength. I know that Pentecost, all of my lifetime has taught that. That means getting happy in church. Amen. That's wonderful. Run around the building. I've seen people on Sunday night get so excited, kick their shoes halfway to the ceiling, but on Monday morning didn't know whether they're saved or not. There was no strength in that joy. No, that's not what he's talking about. He said it's a joy of the Lord. Nehemiah looking at walls that are down, gates that are burnt out, saying there's more the devil here than the ears of God. We're in a distress. It's a terrible time. It's a reproach upon everything. But he said the joy of the Lord is our strength. God wants these walls built. God wants them gates in place. And if I'll put them in place, then he'll bring joy to God. And if he's happy about it, I'll be able to do it. Amen. Yes, sir. It's God's joy, not yours. Amen. Through the joy set before him, he went to that cross. That cross is not joy, but the Father wanted him there. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, your will, not mine, be done. And said, through the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross because he knew that cross, he's going there, breaking the hold of Satan, that he would bring joy to the heart of God. That's the key to it all. I said, that's the key to it all. Now this life that joys God's heart comes from hearing what God has to say and responding to it. Leadership of the Holy Spirit. Better you never heard than to hear and not do. He that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, to him it compounded sin. It's a sin. It's a terrible sin. But to hear and to do. I said to hear and to do. As we do, we hear what God has to say. We listen to the man of God preach. We read the word of God. We hear what he said, and we respond to that word, to do it. then joy. That's the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, see that you refuse not. Every problem comes here. You're in bad trouble. Wherever it is that you hear, God talks to you, and you refuse to hear what he's saying, then trouble is coming. You're going to break somewhere. I said, you're going to break somewhere. It's all going to come apart in a little while. You cannot walk. You see, everything is held together by the word of his power. This administration we have has took the word of God out of the morals of this nation. Amen. Just a few weeks ago, Mr. Clinton, among that gay pride gathering, the only president in all history, went there and said, America accepts you. That's what he said to him. You take the word of God out of this universe, it'll blow up in the morning. You take it out of the morals of a nation, and it goes to hell overnight. You cannot refuse the word. When you refuse the word that comes to you, then you're taken away from you the only thing that can hold your life intact, and you will break down. You will be depressed. You will be broken. You will turn to drugs. You'll turn to something. And it all happened when you refused him to talk to you. When that word come, that man of God preached, and you didn't listen. I sat in a little church in Arkansas. Before I went, it was August of 1992. We moved to Russia in September. And a man of God in that little church said to him, he got up to receive the tithe and offerings. And he said, I want to talk to you people this morning. Some of you have been here 6 months, and it's evident you don't believe what I'm preaching. I preach tithing to you, and you don't tithe. And he said, your unbelief is affecting this church, and I think you ought to find another church. You don't believe what we preach. You don't live by what we say. And you're infectious in this place. You'll cause us to have AIDS one way or another. It's best you find another place. If you can't abide by what's preached here, then you need not be here. We're not here to count noses. We are here to see the will of God. Oh, I said, amen. Let me tell you something, folks. It is his seed that you've refused. Refuse not. We must accept the responsibility that God has placed upon us. Much deliverance services is a cop-out, trying to deliver people from that which only confession and repentance will do. You're going to have to come back. You robbed God. He talked to you. You refuse to repent. You refuse to stand up and do what's right. Ain't nobody going to lay hands on you and deliver you of nothing. And that service you're running to is a cop-out. Your answer is in this altar, in a deep repentance toward God, to be broken before the Almighty. You've refused God, and your problem is right here. You've rejected a truth that come to you, and because of that, all of this is happening to you. You cannot escape. I said, you cannot escape. We think because we have the Holy Ghost that when God moves, all we have to do is be neutral, and God will do what he wants to. Doesn't work that way. No, it doesn't work that way. Listen, firstly, I'm responsible to hear what God is saying. So you're going to answer to it whether you hear it or not, because you're responsible to hear it. You have the opportunity, so you're responsible to hear what God has to say. Second, I must seek God. God is a treasure, and to find treasures, you have to seek for them. They don't just come, fall on you. You must seek God. That's a responsibility of mine, of yours, every one of us. The pastor can bring you the truth. You have to deal with that truth in yourself. And if you refuse that which speaks to you, then trouble is as sure as the sparks fly upward. You know, when light is focused into a laser beam, when it's focused into a laser beam, I understand that just regular light does that. But when it's focused into a laser beam and comes in contact with any object, if there's no restriction of gravity or whatever on that object, then that laser will push that object to the speed of light. But if there's a resistance, then that laser will blow that to atoms. It'll break it into 1,000 pieces. If there's a resistance to that laser, then it'll blow up the object of which it's trying to push. Amen. God is light. And God, like that laser, is coming into this vessel, and he will not leave this vessel as it is. He's not going to leave you just a church member. He's not going to leave you as just somebody goes to church an hour and a half on a Sunday. He's not going to do that. He's coming into you now. God is coming in into you. He's coming in to move you and I into his timing. Like that laser pushing that object to the speed of light, God is coming into our being to push us into his timing, into his purpose, until Christ is formed in me and I become then that container of light. That's what he's come to do. He's come to move me to a speed. I don't force God to my speed. He won't walk with me. I must walk with him. Enoch walked with God, and I can't bring God down to my level. I must move with God. But if I'm bound by things when he moves, like the laser and the object, I will be broken. You will be depressed. You will fill up an insane asylum. A lot of things may happen to you. If there's something there that you won't let go, jealousy, envy, strife, murmuring, debating, whatever it is, immorality, anything, if you won't drop it off, then that light that's come to you will break you. If it can't move you, it'll break you. Church is full of them kind of people. Counsel them all the time. Keep putting more counselors on staff. Try to deal with a problem when the only thing that needs to be done. Amen. I went, my preacher friend died that year. You know, I went to bury him right after. The first preacher I ever put out. But he got off into all his stuff. And for 7 years, he had no contact with me. Then he called me, broke down, called me, "Oh, please, come preach for me. Come talk to me." I got down and I said, "For 7 years, I never heard from you." He said, "I knew that you was going to be on me. I knew you wouldn't agree with me. And I knew, I said, you're old-fashioned. He's got his head set. He ain't going to change about nothing." And so he ignored me for 7 years. But then all that thing began to unwind, come apart. That phony imitation showed up. And so I'm down there with him. And he's got this boy. He said God told him not to work. And so he quit his job, got a wife and 4 kids. And they got him in there every day counseling with him. He's got 2 people. And every day they're counseling. I said, "What are they talking to him about?" "Oh," he said, "they're trying to get his mind straight." "Oh," I said, "it ain't his mind straight. You got to get the devil out of him. You got to get his spirit straight." I said, "Nothing bothers his mind." I said, "I'll tell you what you do. In the morning when he comes in, you tell him you got a word from God from him." He said, I do. I said, "Yeah, I'm going to give you that word." Amen. I'm talking for him. And I said, "You get him in that office, and when he sits down, you tell him, I've got a word from God from you." And he's going to be excited. Sure enough, he was. Come in the next morning, Bill told him, said, "John, I've got a word from God from you. Want you in my office." And he come in all smiles. And he said, "Preacher, what'd you hear?" "He told me to get up off your bottom and go to work." Oh, he jumped up, run out of the office screaming, run up and down the hall directly, come back in, fell down, went crying, repented. All that counseling mess was over with. Amen. See that you don't refuse. God said, if you don't work, you don't eat. He's not going to tell no man, let his wife starve to death while he hangs around the church. Amen. That don't work that way. And ain't no use in getting out of trying to talk with that. I said, no need in trying to talk with that. Come up with it. Tell him what he's got to do. Amen. If we allow those things, when he deals with us, how do I get to the speed of God? By dropping off all resistance to the Holy Spirit. Lay aside every weight, whatever it is. If the Holy Spirit puts his finger on it, doesn't matter how small it looks, doesn't matter if everybody else in church is doing it, get rid of it. It doesn't matter what other people think or do. If you want to move in God's timing, then you got to drop off whatever's hindering you. The basic cause of all depression is resistance to the Holy Spirit. We've got every kind. The doctors got all kinds of names for it, and I know they graduate. If you let it go, it'll become demonic. Yes, sir, you can't live in that state without the devil. You're going to be something you don't want to be, and it's going to be something you can't just change overnight. But I can tell you where it started, when you refused to do what he told you. When God dealt with that heart of yours, when he talked to you, and you didn't do it, you heard what he said. If you sin willfully after you come to the knowledge of the truth, there isn't any more sacrifice. Don't go looking for some other way out. There isn't any. This is the only way. And if you don't, you're going to break. The Holy Ghost is in the believer to glorify God. He's in there for that. Now, when there's a resistance to his purpose, when the Holy Spirit cannot move me into the purpose of God because something is in me that's contrary to the will of God, then frustration's going to come to my life. Nothing is going to work. Amen. The wife isn't going to please you no more. Amen. The kids, the dog barking, everything else is going to get on your nerves because you now are crossways with God. That frustration that's going to lead to depression and to worse if you don't straighten it up. I become depressed because I can't cope with the frustration. Mental hospitals are full of people that the doctor said religion drove them crazy. No, religion didn't drive them crazy. What drove them crazy? They didn't do what he said. They heard and they didn't do. They refused the voice that dealt with them. They refused. I had an old man called to preach when he was 18. When I met him, he's 70. I never saw a man in such torture. He could sit in the church in the normal service. He did well. He just sat there. That's all he could do. But you let the Spirit of God begin to break in, and he broke. He just went all to pieces. He'd come down laying at altar. He'd cry. Now I'd have to listen to the same story. I must have heard it 20 times. When I was 18 years old, God called me to preach. I went to the superintendent of Texas at that time. That's way, way back there. And he said, we got all the preachers we want. Well, he said, I just didn't go then. And now he said, I told God when I retire, I'm going to know. Been retired for 7 years. But all it was, he refused him that spoke. I said he refused him that spoke. I talked to a young man in Florida. He's pastoring a little church of about 30 people in Black Alabama. Got a job, pays him $50,000 a year, and God told him, you're going to have to quit that job and move out. He said, preacher, that's like taking a vow of poverty. That church can't pay me $300 a week. I'd lose my house. I'd lose this. I said, son, I'm not here to tell you when. I'm going to tell you this. You're going to lose a lot more in a house if you don't do what he tells you. You may lose that house, but there's a lot of houses. But if you don't do what he tells you, you're going to lose something you can't get back. See that you refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. When we resist life and light of God, it'll break us every time. Oh yes, if you dig probe into that, I don't know why I'm depressed. I know why. There's something wrong here. If you get down here, if you be honest with God, lay yourself at that altar, be honest with God, you'll discover, and the only way out is repentance. There is no other way. Nobody going to deliver you from that. You yourself, prayer for you. It's like God promised to save my household. I can pray and God will deal with every one of them, but he won't make them get saved. They'll have to make that decision. But he will deal with them if I'm faithful to God. And if you deal with that, if you be honest with God, lay yourself out in this altar. I refused. I said I wouldn't, but I will. Whatever you want out of me, God, I'll repent. I'll do anything I have to do. Only deliver me. Free me from this terrible crisis of my life. I can tell you can walk out of here a free person tonight. You don't have to carry that load with you any longer. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. If you're here tonight, come on in this altar. We don't have no time for anything but God. You're here and troubled, then get in here. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This is a place. This is a time. I said, this is a place. This is a time. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, folks, lift your hands. Let's just ask him to help us. Oh, God. I may not be through, but he may be. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, help us tonight. Help us tonight, Lord. Help us tonight. Oh, living God. Oh, living God. Living God. Living God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're in this house tonight, you may not be right with God, or you may be broken. Your life, you're depressed. The enemy's pushing you. Amen. There's something there you got to deal with. If you're honest with God, you don't have to leave here like you came. I said, you don't have to leave here like you came tonight. Just get up from there. Don't carry it any longer. Don't leave this house with it. Amen. Just get up and walk out. Plow it all. Unbear the soul before God. Be honest with God, and he'll be honest with you. I said, be honest with God, and God will be honest with you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This, the unpardonable sin, is just this one thing. Resisting the Holy Ghost. Amen. Resisting the Holy Ghost. Refuse long enough, and the time will come when you cannot. That's right. The time will come when you cannot. It just works that way. I went to pray for a man dying with a cancer. He lived in a little trailer house. And I went in there, and I began to talk with him. He turned his face against the wall, and he said, pure religion undefiled, that's what I need. And he's dying. I said, I come to give you that. I want to talk to you about your soul. Oh, he said, just pray for me. I said, I want to talk to you about this pure religion. Please leave me alone. Leave me alone. Come back tomorrow. His wife knew him. She said, please, sir, would you go? They're going to make trouble. Well, I left. I said, I'll come back tomorrow. When I come back the next day, open that trailer door. He's sitting there. He cursed me. He called me everything. I've never had a man to curse me. So I'd have, you know, and I just, if I did what I wanted, I'd have pulled him out of that trailer saying the things he said to me. But he said, you leave me alone. He called me names. That was about 11 o'clock at 1 o'clock. He went to hell. Oh God. Yesterday, he could have believed, but today, he cannot believe. Yesterday, he could have believed, but today, it's over. No more. That which is possible tonight may be utterly impossible with you in the morning. Don't leave this church. Not right with God. Jesus, oh God. Jesus, Jesus. I preach to somebody in this house tonight. Oh God, don't let them leave this house. Lord, there's troubled people here tonight. And that trouble is not what they think. It's not that kin, folks. It's not that job. It's somewhere in that life. There's that refusing to do, that disobedient spirit. It's breaking, wrecking everything that's worthwhile. God, don't let them tonight go the wrong direction. I bind the devil, Satan, and every spirit. And in the name of Jesus, I speak a miracle into these lives. Save, deliver at this altar tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every head, listen, is bowed. These are in this altar, but listen. That may not be possible tomorrow. What is possible tonight for you? You're troubled. You need God. And this altar is open now. I said it's open now. I want you to get up and come. Don't you wait. To hesitate is to be lost. I said to hesitate is to be lost. If you be honest with God, then God will. You don't have to leave like you come here. All of that can be broken tonight. Just get up and come. While these musicians are coming, we need not wait no longer. He's talking to us. Amen. I said he's talking to us. In the name of Jesus, find a place in this altar. Tell God. If it needs to make confession to the church or to somebody, then don't hesitate. Do what's right. But come. God is talking. God is talking. Oh, God is talking. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 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 Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen, I'm going to tell you out there now that are right with God. You listen to me just before this song starts. God's going to speak to you from heaven, but he's going to use this preacher to do it. If you're right with God and you have the victory, then I want you down here praying tonight with these people. Amen. It's a terrible thing for people to slip through our hands because people that knew what to do wouldn't do it. Now come on down here while these musicians sing for us. God bless you, sister. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh God. Oh God. God, help us. Oh, living God. 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 From thee, oh God. Oh God, oh Jesus, Jesus. Start your work in me, God, help that lad. Oh God, help that lad. Oh, help Brother Greer, Lord, here tonight. Oh God, help him, Lord, help him, Lord. Oh God, help him tonight, Lord. Oh God in heaven, God in heaven, God in heaven. Oh God, deliver him tonight, Lord. Let the hold to hell be broken. Oh Lord, I humbly plead. Oh my God, my God, my God. Oh my God, my God, my God. Revival comes from thee, from thee. Oh, send the revival. Start your work in me. Oh, my God. 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 Help us. Oh, my God. Oh my God, oh my God, my God, oh my God, help us. Oh, oh God, please, please, Lord, help us. Oh, deliver us, Lord, deliver us, Lord, deliver us, Lord, deliver us, Lord. Oh God, deliver us. Oh, deliver us, Lord.
Yeah. God said to that church, I wouldn't go to sleep tonight. I've been to a lot of people that I've hurt, or they've hurt me. Many times I'd go to him and say, please forgive me, brother. He'd say, oh, I forgive you. Never say, forgive me. In other words, never accept the responsibility they had any part in it at all. So they carry that on. That's pride. It keeps a man from going to every human on this earth that they may have said, done, offended, acted in any way. Clean it up. I'm telling you. If God lifts his hand off of you, be the most awful thing could ever happen to a human on this earth. I've lived a time way back years ago in a backslidden condition when the presence of God lifted off of my life. When I came back to God, it was some time before I ever felt God again like I felt him when I once had known him. But I'm going to tell you, I know what it is to have the presence of God, and I know what it is not to have it. And I've made up my mind, I'm going to make it in. I've made up my mind, I'm going to be a part of that rapture. I made up my mind, if I've said, done, offended, acted in any way, if I refuse the word of God in a particular situation, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to make it right with God first, and then with man. If he tells me to go, I'm going to go. If he tells me to do, I'm going to do. That's when revival will break out in my life and your life. We come to that altar. I was watching a video not long ago of the great missionary Charles Greenaway. He said, you don't come to this altar to get, you come to this altar to give. You give your life unreservedly to Jesus Christ. Give him your body. And the only way he can be Lord, Savior, and Lord is to give him that whole life. Anything he touches in that heart. You're not a novice tonight. Your men and women been in church much in your lifetime, and God deals with that heart. Should have been a lot more people in that altar tonight. That revival would come to your life. Victory would come to your life, your house, your home, your job, your marriage. It all is based not is it somebody else, is it me? That's it. We're so busy worried about what people think, how I looked when I ran to that altar. How embarrassing that is. You talk about embarrassed. Wait till he says on that day, depart from me. That's right. God help us to obey God or suffer the consequence. Tomorrow morning, 7:30, prayer meeting. These kind of services get us ready to receive the word of God. They get us ready to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. They get us ready to know God in a greater way. God can do more in us and through us. Be here tomorrow morning, 7:30. Most of you, a lot of you are off work. Please be here tomorrow and hear and receive the word of God. May God give us the strength to apply it to our life and to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. Lord, there's some people here tonight need to write a letter to somebody. There's people in this house tonight need to make a phone call. There's people in this house tonight that need to deal with the things that you have dealt with in that life. That God, they've thought time would heal it. They've thought that time, it would go away. But tonight, by the Spirit of the living God, you brought that up again. And Father, let us tonight not only have heard, but let us be a doer of that. That the blessing of God would come upon us one more time, is the coming of the Lord is so soon. And Jesus, tonight, don't let us go to bed without taking care of what you have talked to us about tonight. I ask it in your name. Amen. God bless you tonight. Shake hands, fellowship, tomorrow morning, 7:30.